What's going on, guys? I just want to let you know that I am a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. If you like this show, and if you're listening to this, I really hope you do, go to GiantSizeTeamUp.com for more shows like this one. We've got shows like Breaking the Panel. They talk about all the hot topics in comic books today. We've got Botched, a D&D podcast. A bunch of friends get together, get trashed, and go through the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons. We have Pokemon Go, many other shows. Please go there and check that out. And as always, like the Blazing Defender Report.
And now, for your listening pleasure, the Blazing Defender Report with your host, Travis Jones.
Welcome, everyone, to a very special Blazing Defender special report, Game of Thrones episode 2 discussion show. And with me, I have a good friend and big Game of Thrones fan, Botched D&D podcast very own Dennis Robinson. What's going on, brother?
Not a whole hell of a lot other than some sweet, sweet Arya side boob. Which is kind of disturbing. Like, I was thinking about this morning. If you were somebody who binged the entire show, like, over the last few days, you saw her as a little kid a little bit ago, and then you see that, and it's like, well, that's kind of weird.
I did that.
For me, it's been 8 years, so.
Right.
Whatever.
I mean, she obviously looks older, so that helps, but sure. God damn, that was fucking weird, man. Like, it wasn't weird. It's like, hey, man, you know, I mean, dude, I live in Kentucky, so kids are having babies at 14, so it's not that big of a deal. But, like, when she took her shirt off and, you know, her boob was like, it was a nice fucking nice shaped boob, not a huge boob, a really nice shaped boob. And I was like, oh shit, please turn around. And then I was like, oh fuck, now I just made it weird. So but overall, I think a pretty fucking good episode.
Yeah, it was. You know, at first I was like, you know, it's gonna be a whole lot of build up. I'm sitting there just when are the White Walkers happening? Like, we saw it in the preview last week, like, when's it going to get started? We're almost at the end of this episode. And then by about 45 minutes in, I was like, they're not going to do anything with it. Nope. This episode. It's going to be the very end. But I was really, really enjoying all the character interactions, like all the different things going on. There were so many moving pieces, and just it built on the ones that we got in the first episode, but then took it like a step up.
Yeah.
To like a better level, I would say.
Yeah, like, well, you know, we even made fun of it on the last episode, reviewing episode 1, where it was like, we had the awkward meter, all these reunions, some of them were so fucking weird, so awkward. And this one, it was like, really good reunions, you know what I mean? Like, everything that really built off the last episode, it was really, really cool. I fucking loved it, and we're gonna get to it, but not to jump too far ahead, but when they were in the Great Hall and it was, Tormund and Brienne and Jaime and Tyrion and Davos, it reminds me of being at the firehouse in the mornings. And even like, because, you know, I work 24-hour shifts, so I come on shift to a group of guys, and then I come off shift to another group of guys. And like, the best times that I've had in the fire department have been at that coffee table. And just drinking coffee, shooting the shit, saying outlandish shit like Tormund. Like, Tormund is a fucking fireman. Like, he don't know it, but he's kissed by fire. He's a fucking fireman. And that scene where he talked about how he got his nickname, Giant's Bane. Oh, my God, dude. I fucking laughed. I mean, it's so fucking good. But a really, really good episode. But, I know you and I talked last time about what we thought would happen in episode 2. And we were like, oh, man, you know, there's going to be a Jaime trial. And then it's going to get interrupted because the White Walkers are coming to town. We were so wrong, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there was a Jaime kind of trial.
Yeah, that I was almost disappointed with because I wanted something very specific to happen and it didn't happen.
What did you want to happen?
So Daenerys was, she had that fucking pissy face the whole time, like, all I've ever thought about is the ways we will kill my father's killer, blah, 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 right. blah. I was just hoping Jay would be like, hey, guess what? Newsflash, your dad was a cunt, and I saved, like, thousands of lives by murdering right. that stupid cunt, so you're welcome.
Yeah, and well, then, like, that would have been great for him to respond to Danny like that, and then when Sansa fucking chimes in, then he says what he said to her, which I thought was brilliant. You want me to apologize? Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, we were at war, and I'm kind of like, were you? You yeah. really wasn't at war. You weren't at war yet. I yeah. mean, y'all framed Ned as a fucking traitor. Yeah. And all that. The whole Ned Stark thing was because of that. Well, y'all wasn't at war.
It wasn't – that didn't happen just yet, I don't think, the Ned Stark traitor thing, because the issue was that I thought Kat took Tyrion because they thought Tyrion had killed or had pushed or had tried to assassinate Bran. They found his dagger. So then she captured Tyrion, and Jaime wanted Tyrion back, so he went to capture Ned Stark. I thought that's what happened. I could be wrong. It's been a long time since I've seen season
one. I don't remember.
I thought that's that initial conflict.
Ned was the hand of the king.
He was. It was so, after the king died. They didn't really brand him. Well, you know what? I think it all kind of coincided at the same time.
Yeah, it was all pretty. Yeah, it all got together pretty quickly.
Yeah.
When I remember, because like I said, I just watched it. It hadn't been that long ago. It's what I started with, of course. That was season one shit, right?
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, it was, but you know, I mean, it was still like, hey, fucking I ain't apologizing that dude again. I mean, I love Jaime. I've always loved Jaime's character. I say always. I thought he was a piece of shit when he tossed Bran out.
He was until the hot tub scene.
Well, when we were downstairs watching, my wife's watching it right now because she didn't get a chance to watch it last night.
Sure.
And when, you know, Jaime's sitting there saying, you know, why he did what he did, and then, oh, fucking Bran sits over the corner is like, what we do for love. And Jaime's like, oh, shit. I had a moment, and it's about to get fucking shot to hell, but Bran stopped there. He didn't go on.
By the way, Travis, you need to change the metadata for the show. It still says your Blazing Defender Report, episode 101, feeling Star Warsy.
Oh yeah,
Game of Thrones.
Because I just hit the fucking go live thing.
Yeah, there's only one person in chat, anyway, so it's okay.
I know. What's up with that? Where's everybody fucking at, man?
Well, to be fair, you know, Kurt's doing his stream, but not a lot of people are in his either. So maybe some, you know. That's an Easter hangover from the chocolate. I don't know.
I can't change the metadata from here, can I?
Yeah, you can.
How you do it?
If you go, you have to be, so I have the Twitch page open, and then you click on your icon up in the top right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Twitch, we're doing a live, this is how you fix things.
Yeah.
And then click on creator dashboard.
Okay.
And then it'll say stream information, metadata. So it's like right there. So you change your title and then just hit update and that's all.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
It's whatever.
So for everybody listening on iTunes that will eventually listen to the show on iTunes, sorry. sorry.
Yeah, I feel like it also would have been kind of funny if he had done what I said, which was just calls out Danny's dad, and then everyone else is just like, yeah, no, he was a piece of shit. Yeah, no, yeah.
Good point. Good point, Jaime.
Do you all think that? Yeah, no, he's good. We're glad he's dead. 10 out of 10, recommend.
Well, you know, and Danny bringing up her brother. You know, her brother was a fucking piece of shit, too.
Yeah.
Danny knows her dad was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Really not, you know, bringing up the best people to use in an argument. Like, me and my brother talked about my father.
Yeah.
I guess, they're all terrible.
Well, I was probably naked, and he was rubbing my breast, which, you know, he was a weird fucker, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're really making me not like Dani, especially this episode. I've always, like, she's been one of my favorite characters, and I know, like, I was watching The Nerdist, and Jessica Chobot, she fucking hates Daenerys. Hates her.
Really?
Hate, fucking can't stand her.
Really?
Yes, because, and she's right. It's I'm going to be the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms. I am Daenerys Stormborn. I am the Breaker of the Wheel. I am Mother Dragon. I mean, every fucking episode. And I get it.
You know who it reminds me of?
What?
I'm Danny Rand, the immortal Iron Fist of Kunlun or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. He says it every episode you see him. She does that.
Does this first.
What? That's right. He does do that first.
Oh, it's glowing. It's glowing. It's doing the glowing thing again. Oh, I'm the immortal Iron Fist. Shut up, fucking Knight of Flowers, you fucking piece of shit. But anyway, so Danny's really becoming a fucking cunt. Okay, but so, all right. So Brienne has a great moment. She stands up for Jaime. Sansa backs off of it, which I was kind of like, whoa, that was pretty easy. But she really, you know, takes Brienne's opinion in high regard. And then you have, you know, Danny's kind of like, well, what about you, Warden of the North? And, you know, fucking John is, he's 1,000 miles away. Like, John don't give a fuck. Because, you know, he's got some other shit going on from last episode that he's still dealing with. And he's like, yeah, I'll take, you know, whoever I can. So he gets to stay or whatever, right? So then we go into a scene where Danny is ripping fucking Tyrion's ass. And I think you and I talked about this in the preview show, even about how Tyrion ain't been doing so well as the Hand. Like, he's not been the smartest dude in the room. Like, half of season 7, you know, with giving slavery back to Meereen, and he's really, he believed Cersei. I mean, he's really fucking screwing the pooch as the Hand.
Yeah. A little bit there. It's tough because it seems like, for whatever reason, since it's almost like after he murdered his dad, he's just been off his game. He thinks people are going to do one thing and then they never end up doing it. They do something completely opposite and surprise the shit out of them, which is totally unusual for us as viewers to watch, because every time he has a plan, it works out. Like that whole
Blackwater.
I'm going to tell this guy this thing. I'm going to tell this guy this thing. I'm going to tell this guy this thing. And then whatever gets back to Cersei, I know that one is the leak, and then I can just plug it that way.
Right.
That was super clever. But now it's just sort of, I don't know. It's different.
It's almost like he's been governing by emotion. I don't say governing, but like making decisions by emotion. Like Cersei. Okay. Like, come on, dude. I mean, all those other ones I can give you. But fucking believing Cersei was ever going to do anything altruistic for anybody other than herself, you're fucking, you blew it. You blew it.
Yeah.
But well, this
she's
is.
She's pregnant. She'll be better. She had 3 kids and she was a piece of shit. So you really?
She's still a fucking cunt, man. Doesn't make a difference how many kids she has. Yeah. But this is, you know, we talked about this last episode too. Like, they foreshadowed some things last episode. I think they're doing it again with, especially when Jorah shows up to Danny and is kind of like, hey. And like, you know, Jorah is probably next in line. It won't be Varys that gets the hand pendant. It would be Jorah.
Yeah.
And Jorah's like, look, that dude, I know he's fucked up, and we all have, right? He's still the smartest dude in the room. So I think with Tyrion fucking up constantly, with Jorah having this moment with Danny, just like, hey, don't give up on him yet. He is going to have the smartest man in the room moment, and he's going to fucking save the day somehow. Like, I don't know if it's going to be with the White Walkers. It may be dealing with the Battle for the Throne. I think that's where it'll be.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense for Battle of the Throne, because you're not really going to be able to logic out zombies, because they don't
care. Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting that, you know, their fans have been kind of clamoring for their Tyrion back, right? Because, I mean, that's what we love about it. I mean, there's a shirt that says, I drink and I know things.
Yeah, he's had amazing lines throughout the show. But, I mean, I thought he had great lines in this episode.
Oh, of course.
My first favorite line of his was when he and Jaime were walking around, and Tyrion's just like, yeah, you think I would have, like, known better or whatever. And Jaime's like, yeah, I wish I would have too. And then he's just like, no. You knew always how she was, but you just chose to love her anyway.
Yeah. I was like, that was cool.
Great line.
Yeah. I'm trying to host y'all. Apparently, I suck.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks anyway. Thanks anyway, Mike. But yeah, so what I want to talk about, this is, and again, I think they're setting us up for something to happen. Jamie confronts Bran at the Godswood and needs to know why he didn't tell on him, which I think we were all thinking that. Like,
yeah,
I kind of didn't think Bran would, because I don't think Bran gives a fuck. Like, I think Bran is so disconnected from humanity and, like, rage and vengeance. He's so, like, you know, cyborgish now, if that's a fucking word.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he cares. But when he says, we need all the help we can get, I'm like, hold on. Jamie has already self-admittedly said he's a piece of shit now when it comes to the fight. Like, he's fucking left-handed. His left hand sucks. Granted, you're fighting zombies, so you might last longer than you normally would, but you're not that much of a fucking help. So no. I'm thinking that Bran has already foreseen this, his timeline or whatever, an eventual event maybe that happens with Jamie, and if Jamie's not there, that event can't happen. I think he's already seen it. He can't tell Jamie, because you can't tell somebody, you know how that the future rule goes. Like, you can't tell somebody too much about their future or you'll fuck it up.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong. Has Bran ever seen the future, or does he only ever see the past?
He sees past, present, and future. He
does see the future too? Okay.
Yes.
Because I'm sitting here trying to think. I was like, I can't remember the last time I saw him like see like a premonition.
We haven't seen it, but he said it.
He said it, okay.
Yes, he has said it. So that's – but they're all – it's kind of like
– Hey, Rhino.
What up, Rhino? Yeah, it's kind of like he sees, like, possible future timelines. He doesn't know if any of them will come to pass. But it's kind of like Doctor Strange, right, for Endgame. How many did you see? Fucking 14,000,260 or whatever. How many did we win? One. So he knows that for them to win, Tony has to be in that timeline. I think Bran has played strange in a way. See what it did there? Very fucking strange, actually. And he's seen a timeline where Jamie actually fucking he's a key component to an event. So he's like, it may not happen, but you need to be here. But he can't tell him. But for him, does Bran really speak? I mean, I know he speaks vaguely now, but like, is Bran really going to be like, yeah, we need all the men we can get?
Well, he also made that one line where Jamie's like, well, I'm going to get out of this. Or he's just like, what makes you think you're going to survive? Yeah. And he's like, and then Jamie's just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Like, payback, motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That would be funny. Bran just wheels into him and he just falls off a wall or something.
Jamie's on the top of the wall, fucking firing arrows, and Bran just poop. What I do for love, oop, in the back.
Mr. Magoo's him off the edge of the thing.
Mr. Magoo. shit. Okay. So what you were just talking about with Jamie and Tyrion, as I just have it in my notes, they were talking about Cersei. So I said last episode, I didn't think she was pregnant. Well, apparently she is.
Yeah, I was reading an article that said that a lot of people are wondering if that's actually the case, but when they saw the script, it mentions explicitly in the script that she is in fact pregnant. So actually pregnant.
They wouldn't have Jamie wouldn't have said that. Like, if they wanted to keep it vague, Jamie would have been like, she's lied to me about other things, you know what I mean, or something to that effect.
See, he was going to say that. Yeah, I thought that's what he was going to say, but he didn't. He confirmed
they
it.
They don't want to keep that. Well, even my wife said it back in episode one when you're on, like, I put a prince in your belly, you know, fucking bug-eyed fucker. But, you know, my wife was like, she had that look on her face. I think she's pregnant. You know what I mean? Because now everybody will think it's Euron's baby.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, no, but what's going to happen when it pops out with blonde hair again? Because that's
what and bug eyes and a fucking crooked teeth and shit.
Well, it won't have that.
Oh, no, it won't. Yeah, it won't.
Because it's not his.
Right. Yeah, it's going to look like fucking
Jamie
Joffrey and the other fucker, Tommen. Well,
so that was something else I was reading, and I watched like a video on it. It's like, what does this mean for Maggie the Frog's premonition or prophecy that she had? Because she said Cersei would have three kids and they would die, and they would have golden crowns and golden veils or something like that. So does that mean that this child's not even going to make it to childbirth? Does that mean that,
did she say she would have three kids, or did she say she would have three kids die? See what I'm saying?
I thought she said you're going to have three kids and they'll all wear crowns of gold and their veils will be gold as well.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember the exact wording, because that could get you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's interesting, though. I forgot about the whole prophecy thing. But all right. So, and then another thing that's really making me hate Dany is this whole – and Sansa, too. I've never been a big Sansa supporter, to be honest. She's kind of –
Well, Sansa's changed a lot, but not for any particularly interesting matters. Like, so at first she was just a stuck-up – just little snot.
Sure.
But then a lot of fucked up shit happened to her. So you're like, okay, now I feel bad for Sansa.
Sure.
But then she hung out with Littlefinger for a while. And then she turned into a female version of Littlefinger, who I didn't like.
She's even dressing like him now. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
with the little ring thing. And I was like, that's very Littlefinger-ish.
I thought she was also kind of dressing like Cersei. Cersei wears that black scaly looking shit.
Ah, Rhino says the baby ain't going to make it because Cersei is going to die.
Yeah.
And the prophecy does mention their brother will kill her. It does. Which one? Which one, though?
So it says, OI, 6 and 10 for him and 3 for you. Gold shall be their crowns and gold their shrouds. So it says 3 kids.
Okay.
And it says Valonqar, which means little brother in Valyrian. But technically, Jaime is also a little brother because he was born second. So it could be Jaime, could be Tyrion, could be somebody else's little brother. That part's pretty vague, too.
Yeah,
chances are it's probably Tyrion or Jaime, but my money's on Jaime.
My money's on Jaime as well. I think it will.
Yeah.
So another thing that's making me hate Dany is this whole her and Sansa button heads. You know, because, you know, Dany wants to be the fucking ruler of Seven Kingdoms. Yeah. And then, you know, this is what pisses me off. Like, and this is the reason I love John so much. John is a very no-nonsense, common-sense dude. Like, who gives a fuck if I'm the king of the North if we're all dead? Who gives a fuck who rules the Seven Kingdoms if we're all fucking dead? It doesn't matter, guys. We get this done first, then we'll worry about who's ruling the North, who rules the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
But, like, Dany and Sansa, she's like chicks, right? Like, they want to fucking argue over trivial bullshit when there's a much larger problem that they should be focused on.
Yeah. So the scene started out all right, where I was like, okay, maybe they're going to finally get some common ground.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, man, sisters, man. Fucking, get it going. Kiss her.
And then Sansa's like, and what about the North? And I was like, yep, there we fucking go.
There you go. Had to fuck it up, Sansa. Had to fuck it up.
Because Daenerys was like, oh, well, you know, actually, Jon just makes me not even care about the Seven Kingdoms. Like, I totally gave up that fight to come up here. And then the last episode, she's like, we could stay here for 1,000 years until Sansa says that line. And then she's like, well, I mean, I'm the queen, and you're just going to have to, you know, fall in line. Like,
you're going
to
be in the fucking knee, right? Yeah, so... That was pretty shitty. I don't know. I thought it was a great scene up until that moment. I was like, God damn it. But it still made it a good scene. All right. This is what I want to tell you about. So they get interrupted because Theon shows up. Now, this is what I want to say. Was that not the weirdest? That was not an, I'm glad you're here, you saved my life hug.
That was, I was getting some weird, like, sexual tension thing. And I was like, where did this come from?
And then at the end, toward the end of the episode, she's like staring at Theon. Like, she wants to fucking, he didn't have anything to.
Well, they could scissor.
But if he did, she wanted to.
Scissor me timbers. They're going to have to scissor.
She was definitely looking at him like she wanted to scissor.
Yeah. Well, but I don't ever remember that being a thing ever. Like, I don't remember when they were younger, them having like little flirty glances.
Douchebag. She was a little shit and he was a douchebag. So no.
Yeah. And I don't remember when he saved her having some sort of like weird little thing. Like, if anything, he would be this weird reminder because Ramsay made him stand there and watch while it happened. Right. So like, I feel like that would be a trigger of some type.
Sure. For both of them.
Yeah, but yeah. No, I feel like that was a forced, and maybe it won't become anything. Maybe it was just like a friendly thing, but they were definitely giving off more of a romantic vibe.
I agree. I totally agree.
I think it ought to be.
So I thought in this episode, we definitely, like, a lot of people are bitching online or, you know, in chat rooms and shit, which people are stupid, but sure. They're bitching about, you know, no fucking action in this episode. But we got a lot of information going forward as far as what the plan is going to be. And apparently, sure, now we find out that Bran is actually coming for Bran.
Yeah.
So, like, that was fucking news. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah, I mean, I know he killed the last one-eyed raven. Yeah. And with the mark, now we know that. Like, you know, I didn't know that he was marked and the Night King could find him wherever he was. That might have been fucking nice to know, Bran.
Well, I think I do remember them saying that, but you think he probably would have brought it up to those guys a little sooner than
that. Yeah, I would think.
Zero hour type thing.
Yeah, not in the war room as they know they're marching north going, oh, hey, by the way, you might want to use me as bait, just saying.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, fuck, yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah. Well, that was also, you know, when they show that big map, because when they first show the White Walkers, I was like, it doesn't seem like there's that many in comparison to, like, the other ones. And then they show that map, and it's like, oh, no. No, that's nowhere near. Because when Dany said, how many are there, she was just like, oh, you know, like 100,000. That wasn't no 100,000. No. And it sure looked like, when they were walking the troops in, that they had like 100,000 Unsullied. I was like, I mean, it looks like they got enough dudes with just Unsullied. But then last night, I was like, no, they are not even close.
They're vastly outnumbered. Yeah. And I thought this was interesting too. Is the Night King even susceptible to Dragonfire?
Well, so the reason I don't think that is going to be the case is fire parts when he gets near it. Like,
say it again.
So remember when Danny saved John?
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon fire was all over the place.
Yeah.
When he got near dragon fire, it just
went away.
Yeah, it just went away.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure the only way you're going to kill him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be shocked if Dragonglass didn't work and you had to use Valyrian steel. I mean, I'm pretty sure Dragonglass will work, but I'm pretty sure you're going to have to get in close and dirty for it.
Right,
I don't think you're going to get lucky with just, you know, that other stuff.
Yeah. Just, you know, Tony was wanting to know why everybody was back at Winterfell, but Ryan did a great job of just basically in two sentences explaining it. It's like, John convinced everybody to come back to Winterfell to fight the White Walkers, and that's basically what happened, which is a very long process of John trying to unite the free folk, the wildlings, the Night's Watch, get Dany. I mean, yeah, it was a big undertaking that for John to even have all the people there that he does. Yeah. And he's still really, really outnumbered. Now, what I want to say, because somebody was saying earlier, it wasn't in the chat, I guess it was somewhere else. Somebody was saying that they feel like even though Cersei lied, they still feel like she's going to show up in the ninth hour, you know, to help Winterfell. No way. No way that happens. But you
said multiple times that she's basically waiting to see what's left over.
Yeah.
Which is the dumbest strategy ever.
Yeah.
Because if the zombies win, they get to add all the forces that died. So then they have three dragons.
Exactly.
And all that other stuff. So if you have 20,000 troops, that's adorable.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, and they're all sellswords, so they fight for money. Once they see the fucking zombies crawling over each other, get across the wall, I'd be heading to a fucking boat. Fuck you, bitch. Yep.
Back on the boat.
I can't spend my money if I'm dead. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But this, you had said something about, or I think it was in a preview show, you were like, so do you think that Debo with the
CGI
boobs, he and I were talking about that earlier today. I think that this is my, because you were like, man, so we're going to see like an army from Bravos or something show up. You know, like, why is it just got to be the Seven Kingdoms that are fighting? And yeah. I still think Denario Naharis is going to show up with the Second Sons, which I don't know if there's that many Second Sons, but they're still good fighters, and like an army from Marine to show up.
See, why I don't think that'll happen is who would have told them? Because they're on the other side of the world.
A raven.
Well, who would have said, can a raven fly across the ocean?
Tyrion.
Tyrion might have, but I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think, and Denario loves Danny. So for him just to be staying in Marine with a thumb up his ass, when that motherfucker, he fucking spoils for a fight. So if he's leading Marine, I'd be like, hey, motherfuckers, get in the boats. We're headed to the fucking Seven King. We're headed to Winterfell. And we're going to help the queen fucking, you know, win the day or whatever. I just really love Denario Naharis. So I really hope he shows up. Because nobody gives a shit about the Seven Kingdoms with 67 Kingdoms. Yeah, that's true, Rhino. You're absolutely right.
It would be cool, but I feel like if something like that happens, it sort of does. It sort of plays to the issue with a lot of those battles where it's like, oh, everything's down, 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 and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes reinforcements.
Yeah, but look, it's happened everywhere. It happened with Stannis and the Night's Watch.
Yep, it's happened with Battle of the Bastards.
In the Battle of the Bastards, yes, exactly.
I know. So I feel like it'd be too cliche to just keep doing that same trick over and over
again. But it would be, but it goes with the formula of the show.
Yeah.
But I mean, three times would be a little much.
But if there was a group to just magically appear to save everybody or at least help out, it's not those guys. I'd want to see a whole bunch of Red Priestesses. Just throwing fire magic all over the place.
Because
I would like more magic in the show.
Sure. Oh, and that, you know, we have missed, like, and I want to get to this, but this was if there was a theme of this episode other than, like, you know, camaraderie and, you know, tying up loose ends and everything.
Sure.
Evidently, the crypt is the safest place to be in Winterfell when the zombies come.
I was like, I'm like, what? Is it just, like, do they burn the bodies? I'm pretty sure they don't. I'm pretty sure you've got zombies like waiting in
there. Exactly.
So I was wondering if that was setting things up, because there's a scene where a little girl's like, I want to fight, and then she's like, you know what? I'll protect the people in the crypt. And I'm like, wouldn't it be funny?
She's dead.
If zombies popped up, but no, if she was like just like a badass little X-23 fighter with dragon glass, just fucking up zombies.
Fucking claws pop out, their dragon glass claws, and she starts fucking zombies up.
Yeah. Ned Stark pops up and immediately dies.
You're exactly right, Tony. Those people in the crypt are fucked, and that little girl, as cute as she was, is going to be the first bitch dead. She's going to be coming out with fucking blue eyes and fucking chewing on somebody's face. Now, you think, but look who we got in the crypt. We're going to have Tyrion. We're going to have Sam. And there's no way those two die. There's no way.
Well, we say that. Huh? I mean, we've said in the past there's no way this character will die, and then they fucking died anyway.
That's true. My money's still on Tyrion and Sam. If it was just one of them in the crypt, I would be like, ooh, could be. With both of them in the crypt, no way. No. Something happens. I don't know what's going to go on with the crypt, but this is what I would like to see, and I'm with you.
Sure.
So their bodies, see, I wish – Nah, see, we were talking about the Red Priest theory, where she comes back with a bunch of fucking warriors that had been burned, and the Lord of Light gives her an army of these fucking warriors that are set on fucking fire. They're going, like, they're put together with ash and fire and fucking, that would be fucking the shit, right? Especially like with Khal Drogo fucking on a horse made of fire running down because he was burnt by fire. So that would be fucking dope. But, like, it's still the crypt is still a fucking major hole because none of those were burnt. None of those people were burned that we know of.
Well, except for the Starks that got burned by the dragons.
Oh, you mean from Rhaegar's dragon? John's dragon? John's dead dragon?
No. What's the name of the Mad King? The Mad King had the two Starks burned alive in his court.
That's right.
I don't think he used a dragon. I think he used dragon fire.
Probably, because he liked that shit quite a bit.
Yeah, but he definitely burned them. So they're probably in there. Somewhere.
They could be. Yeah, they could come back. I just got a feeling that they're really pushing that crypt as a safe place, and that, again, foreshadowing, it is not going to be fucking safe.
Well, with the Night's King, do they just automatically pop up when they're dead? I feel like he has to, like, summon them back to life.
He has to summon them.
Yeah, so maybe he'll be busy and, like, be too distracted to do that. But I have a feeling, like, the good guys are going to feel like they're doing a good job, and then all of a sudden Night King just goes, and release, and then all of a sudden all the dead people pop back up.
So do you think there's a reason that Bran wanted to Theon's dead. Theon will not last this next episode, I don't think.
Yeah.
He's guarding Bran. He's basically sacrificing himself.
I think they're all dead. I think Bran's dead too.
Do you?
I think Bran's going to die.
That's the reason he wants to meet him in the Godswood.
Or he's going to go someplace, or like he'll be disembodied or something. Like he'll
zoom walk into the fucking Godswood or some shit.
Something.
He'll just be a fucking tree.
I don't know what he'll do, but I feel like his body won't be there anymore.
Right. I don't know. I feel like
that one wildling when John killed him and he was just like, you were right all along. And the guy worked into his hawk and then he was just alive as a hawk. Like, I feel like Bran may do something similar, but maybe more on a larger scale or a wide scale. A dragon would be pretty fucking sweet.
Viserion. Maybe he could take over Viserion. I don't know if he can take over dead. No, there's still a lot. I was wondering about his power set. We don't know.
Yeah, I was wondering what would happen if he tried to warg into a dead person. But I feel like the Night King's probably a more powerful, like, psychic entity.
Yeah.
That he wouldn't be able to, like, beat him. Because Bran's pretty much gotten his ass kicked every time he's tried to do anything around the Night King. So.
Well, I mean, the Night King just looked at him when he was a raven, when he was looking over the dead, and he fucking knocked him right out of the raven. So, he wasn't a three-eyed raven yet, though, either. So,
sure.
You know what I mean? But I think that's the reason he wants him in the Godswood. Because, I mean, that wasn't given to Bran. Bran, you know, he fessed that up. Like, I'll meet him in the Godswood. Like, motherfucker, what are you not telling us? You know, and that's another thing that, don't you think it's weird? Like, Bran is very fucking strange, obviously. And, like, no one's really like Jaime. If I'm Jaime, I'm like, What's going on? Someone needs to fucking explain this to me, because this fucking kid's weird as fuck, and I want to know why. I want to know. Every time he says something, everybody's like, oh, well, we're doing that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the three-eyed raven is like Rhaegar, like books and songs were written about him. Yeah. Like, they're just, because he's Bran, or I guess he's still Bran, they're all taking him at his word, and he could be setting them up to fucking all die, and they don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's the weird thing with him being completely unemotional. I feel like the last three-eyed raven wasn't really that. I mean, he was stoic, but I wouldn't say he was just completely devoid of emotion.
Right.
I feel like Bran's playing that a little differently than.
Yeah, well, and I think Bran's new too. The other three-eyed raven, I mean, he was an old dude. No telling how long he'd been the three-eyed raven. Maybe he kind of found some kind of balance with his human side and being a three-eyed raven, and Bran's just kind of like, he's stuck in seeing shit and he ain't really figured it out yet. Because I did watch that episode. It was actually the Holdor episode.
Yep.
And he says to Bran, when he goes, it's time for you to be a three-eyed raven. And Bran said, am I ready? And he says, no. Like, nope, you ain't ready, but the Night King's coming for me. And Bran really fucked that up, because what he did was, your boy was warging out or whatever they call it in that tree. And Bran, like, got up, walked over, and put his hand on the tree. And that's when the Night King found him and grabbed his arm.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And he was like, the Night King seen me, seen me. And then that's when the dude was like, yeah, well, it's time then. You fucked it up. You're not ready, but he's going to kill me. And there always has to be a three-eyed raven. So
now what I don't think Bran is, like you said, you think Bran might be setting them up. I think Bran might be setting them up, but I think it might be one of those things where it needs to go a certain way in order for things to happen. So I need, it's going to look really, really bad because I'm going to do this thing. It's going to look real bad, but it's going to work out in the long run. You guys will see. Because I don't think he would set him up just to die for the sake of dying. For the simple fact that it doesn't do him or the world any favors, unless, you know, emotionless Bran was just like, you know what?
No.
I'm tired of this planet too. Screw it.
He's the history of man. So he needs man to go on.
Yeah.
So I don't think that. I'm just saying if, you know, I think it's odd that this group of alpha males and women for that matter.
Sure.
They just accept everything that fucking Bran says. You know, I'd be like, hey, man, I need some goddamn explanation on this dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's weird. He's in a fucking wheelchair. He talks weird. And y'all just fucking, y'all hang on every word.
Sure.
So, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think, this is what I think. I think Bran saves the day. Bran saves the fucking day. That's what I think. Because he's had too long of a fucking road, a strange road. He's the magical... Well, other than Danny, he's probably the most magical being in that group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and if anybody can defeat the Night King, I really liked that theory of Bran battling the Night King, like in a cerebral battlefield, like an astral plane, while everyone else fought him physically. I really liked that idea. And maybe that's why Bran wants him in the Godswood. Maybe Bran is more powerful in the Godswood for fucking whatever reason. You know, they got something to do with trees, right? Because the one dude was fucking part of a tree. Bran is constantly staring at the Godswood. So I don't know. But I think that would be pretty cool.
I think I just figured it out.
Uh-oh.
I know who's going to beat the Night King and save the day. It's going to be Podrick.
Podrick,
it's going to be
singing. Podrick. He's going to sing him to sleep. He's going to do like Star-Lord did in Guardians.
Podrick is amazing at everything, and he's going to win just because he's amazing at everything. He sexes up the ladies better than everybody. Yeah. Prostitutes give him his money back. He can sing. He can now fight apparently pretty damn well, and he's very quippy. So he's going to win.
Sure. And I love how everybody has bangs now. Like me not having hair, so I'm very I'm very observant of people's hairdos. And I felt like that's why Bran didn't tell on Jaime, because they were bang bros now. Like he was in the Godswood and Jaime was like, what's up? And you know, Bran was like, oh dude, you got bangs. I got bangs. We're bang bros. Yeah. And then they seen Pod and they're like, oh dude,
bang bros.
You got bangs. We're bang bros.
Bang bros is a very different thing, Travis.
Not Bang Bros, the porn site, you fuckers. Bang. Like bangs, dude. Bangs. Not Bang Bros. Bangs Bros.
Oh, Bangs Bros. Okay. Bangs a very subtle.
And come on, y'all.
It's a very subtle difference.
It's a family show, goddammit.
I guarantee that Bang Bros has some Game of Thrones stuff floating around, or Game of Bones, or whatever it's called that they do.
Tony says no one on Bang Bros has bangs. They sure the fuck don't, but they are some Bang Bros.
They are some Bang Bros. I could see that with Bran. I don't know if it would be necessarily satisfying from a narrative perspective, just because nobody seems to give a hot shit about Bran because his character is so detached and
you can't relate to him anymore.
You can't relate to him at all. So from a narrative aspect, I don't think it would be a good way to do it. They could do it.
They could.
It would be interesting on paper, but like I said, from a narrative aspect, I don't think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree with you. I really want to talk about this, the scene with everybody in the Great Hall, because it was such a fucking great scene. And fucking Tormund, Giantsbane, is one of the best characters on Game of Thrones. I'm probably going to be more devastated when he dies more than anybody. But that fucking story, and I guess he was trying to like impress Brienne.
Oh yeah,
you know how I got my nickname, Giantsbane. You know, and I'm like, oh my god,
because he saw Jaime there, and he was like, he was eyeballing him up as like a threat. So he's just like,
exactly.
I hear you're like the Kingslayer, huh? Okay, well, I'm Giantsbane.
Yeah. What's up? You know how I got that name?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I love Tormund. That was just a great scene. And then I ain't gonna lie, I did get a little weepy eyed, a little moist. My eyes got a little moist when Jaime knighted Brienne.
That's pretty cool.
Very, very cool fucking scene. And I was just sitting here thinking, because I watched Nightfall. You know, Nightfall is about the Templar Knights and everything.
Sure.
You don't have to be a king to knight someone. Just another knight. And I'm like, well, fuck, man. Jaime should fucking knight her. And then he was like, he was putting up his drink. And I was like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. So, yeah, it was pretty cool, man. That was a really fucking awesome scene. And like I said, people that are like, oh, fucking Game of Thrones, man, that was fucking boring. Wow, dude. I don't know why you like this show then. Yeah. Because to me, this is what Game of Thrones is. It's fantastic storytelling, great dialogue between characters. Yeah. That's what Thrones is, man.
And there was so much said that wasn't said. So, for instance, when, you know, Jamie's like, well, I can knight you. And Brienne's like, oh, it's whatever. I don't care about being knighted. And then Jamie's like, no, seriously, I'll knight you. And then, like, she looked like a little girl. Like, the joy and wonderment of her eyes. She's like, oh, really? Yeah. And everyone's like, yeah, no, go do it. Come on, you can do it.
Pod was like, go on, bitch. Like, dude, this everybody, is what you've always wanted.
Everybody was doing that. And I was like, this is like a really cool. Well, that scene anyways, getting to that point, like there were so many moments where I was like, God damn it. I love that character. Like Onion Knight. I love the Onion Knight.
I love Davos, man.
God, he's so good.
He's fantastic. I think I will have that drink after Tormund's story. I think I will have that drink after all, you know.
Anybody know a song? What did he say? Something about like, nah, you'd be better off killing yourself or something like that.
You would pray for an early death.
You'd pray for an early death. I was like, that's pretty fantastic.
I was kind of hoping Tormund was going to bust out something, but he always stole the scene.
And then he just goes, no. Nah. No.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be Pod. I just knew it because no one, you don't really know anything about anybody else, really. And Pod's full of fucking surprises. He always has been. So yep. I thought that was just, it was just a fucking great scene, man. Like all them Tyrion, you know, Tyrion's getting drunk. And so.
And it starts out with just Tyrion and Jaime chatting. And then another person comes in. And then another, and then another, and another. Until you get like this nice little like semicircle around the fire where not a whole lot of them. And they made the point numerous times throughout the episode, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yes.
That most of them have fought each other in wars or have fought against the Starks, and now here they are defending the Starks.
Here we are sitting in the Great Hall of Winterfell getting ready to defend the North. Like, the irony, no one would ever in a fucking thousand years predict that kind of fucking irony.
Because for a long time, everybody was like, you know what? The Stark house is probably going to cave just because everybody wants them dead. And seems like that's a pretty strong house right now.
Yeah, yeah. They've got the all-star team, I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
So what did you think it meant? I think every scene they're fucking setting us up for something, right?
Sure.
Sam gives Ser Jorah Heartsbane. Heartsbane? Is that right?
Yeah, Heartsbane.
Valyrian steel. It was, you know, the Tully's sword that Sam stole.
Yep.
Actually. And then he gives it to Ser Jorah, which I thought was a really fucking cool moment because, again, Ser Jorah disgraced, which he was having a little tit for tat with the little girl that runs Bear Island.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Help me out, chat. Ryan, if you're still there, I know you'll know her name.
I just call her Lady Mormont, but I don't remember what her name is.
She's a badass.
She's so
But they're
awesome.
Like, you know, the crypt would be safer. And she's like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, she's the only one that's got any sense. Dudes.
And then she walks
fighting.
Yeah. And she walks away and like the dudes part out of her way. And I'm like,
dude,
yeah.
She's gangster. She is a fucking gangster on that show. And every scene where she speaks is just so good. You know, it's like she is. I mean, they casted that little girl perfectly for that role. Yeah. But so Sam giving him the sword, I'm like, oh, shit, Jorah's got Valyrian steel now. Like, you can't give someone Valyrian steel and then they go out and get fucking ate by a bunch of fucking walkers. Or that's not going to happen.
My issue is, so a lot of times with stories and things like that, I notice whenever they set characters like this up, it usually doesn't bode well. Something bad is coming, or something wicked this way comes, as they say.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, he's going to use that sword for some sort of pivotal moment, but it's going to be the end of him. Like, I feel like he's not going to live through that battle. He's definitely going to die. He'll do something heroic. He'll kill a White Walker. Maybe he'll kill three White Walkers.
He's going to save Danny. That would be a fitting in for Jorah, saving Danny.
You know, but I think he'll die. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I don't think he makes it out of this fight.
Yeah. No. Maybe Drogon will get shot down or something, or she falls off, or you know, something happens where somebody has to rescue her or run to her rescue or something, and he shows up to do that.
Right.
And he'll probably be super badass doing it, just cutting a swath through all these zombies. Like, fuck you, zombies.
Yeah.
And then,
he's a bad motherfucker, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He knows how to fight. Although that sword's probably a little bigger than he's used to, but
yeah. Yeah. Even Sam says he couldn't hold it up.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Ned Stark sword. That thing was gigantic, but it's definitely on the big side.
Lyanna Mormont.
Yeah. There you go.
Very good. Thank you, Debo. Thank you. Well, thank you, GS2 Media. That was very nice of you to tell us to eat a bag of dicks. I appreciate you dropping in.
I wonder if that's Charles. If it is, hi, Charles.
Probably. I'd say it probably is. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, hey, we want everybody to drop in the chat. Tell us to eat a bag of dicks. Yeah. We're good with that. We don't give a fuck.
So I think that's what's going to end up happening. And yeah. I think it'd be a good fitting end for him because you know he's not going to get any. Like
no.
Everybody knew he was like blue balled the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
But, you know, I think that's really cool because like knights, you know, especially like medieval knights and stuff, it was chivalry, right? It was like that they loved somebody that they knew they couldn't have. And it was that tragic love that made them knightly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if you go back and look at like the lore and the mythology behind like King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table,
exactly,
all of them were like that. They all had something. I mean, the most famous is
Lancelot
and Guinevere, but
right.
All the other ones had some other similar tragic backstory kind of thing going on. None of them had like real happy times. It's English. There is no such thing as happy.
There's no such thing. You're on a battlefield fucking people up. It's about the closest thing you get to a good day.
Yeah.
So John tells Danny at the very, you know, John's been very antsy. I see what I did there. Very antsy the whole episode. Light him up. Knock him down, baby.
You're punny. You're definitely punny.
So finally he tells her and did not go the way I thought it would. Again, they're really making me not like Danny. And then like you said, you know, she's telling Sansa basically like, yeah, you know, I didn't give a fuck about Seven Kingdoms. I seen the Army of the Dead, your brother. I love your brother. Well, that would make you the true heir to the Iron Throne, you know? What happened to our love, bitch? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
even though he's told you numerous times, I give not a hot shit about ruling. I did it because I needed to save people.
Yeah,
I care about.
I really wish they hadn't have gave him that pause. That pissed me off because I don't think it's. I'm like you. I thought that was very out of character for John because it was like he was contemplating it, and so, John at that moment. Knowing the walkers are coming before the sun comes up, he's like, I wish he'd have just been like about to just like really say something to her, and then the horn blows or somebody comes and gets him and breaks it up. But they gave him like that 2 second pause where he was thinking about it, and I'm like, God damn it, I thought that was very out of character. I don't think
so. This week I read this article that it was an interview with the guy who plays Samwell Tarly.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about how Sam actually manipulates the shit out of John because he knows exactly how to work John. He knows John's very honorable. He know like when they were at Castle Black, he manipulated the system to get John in power. And then what happens? Sam's safe. Sam gets to go to the Citadel. Same thing here. He doesn't like Danny because Danny murdered, you know, his father and brother and sees that she has this sort of like crazy, I want to burn things streak. It's kind of a Targaryen thing. So he was like, okay, well, what is the best way to do that? Hey, John, you need to be king now. And then made points that would play towards John's, not even necessarily insecurities, but his personality traits, where he would be like, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it would be better if I was king just because I don't give a shit about ruling. So I'm going to do it from the just and fair standpoint.
Yeah. I mean,
but again, it would have been better if it played out the way you had it, but I can see from the way that he interviewed, or at least from the answers that, you know, Sam gave in the interview, that makes sense to an extent that he's basically playing John. John's had to think about it for the whole episode because he doesn't talk to Danny. He runs away every time. Every time she's supposed to.
Yeah, you can tell he's deep in thought the whole episode. Like, he's not even like, yeah, we need all the men we can get. I don't give a fuck. I got more shit going on. Death Punch says she's becoming what she didn't really want to be. John was hoping for her to react and be concerned about the relationship and not the crown. I totally agree. Like, John was probably like, bitch, you know, maybe that caught him off guard and he wasn't so much thinking about him being the ruler of the Seven Kingdoms, but like, he was probably taken back by her. Cause I know I was.
Yeah.
And I think most viewers were.
Cause she should know he doesn't care about that. Like, he's said it a number of times to her.
Exactly.
And that's why she likes him. Cause he doesn't care about the crown. Literally, if she actually wanted to go hide in that cave for 1,000 years, he'd probably all up on, except for the fact that he needs to save everyone from zombies. And
John because is there is nothing after.
Exactly.
He knows that.
Yeah. So he's definitely honor and duty first. And after that, he gave up his titles. Well, not that he had a ton, but he gave up his titles to do the Night's Watch because he thought it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Then he got rid of the Night Watch rules that he did because he knew it was the right thing to do.
Right.
All John cares about is the greater good. The greater good.
He always has.
Yeah.
Debo says Danny's power hungry and it could ultimately be her downfall. I totally agree. Like, she's been so consumed. I mean, like I said, even her and Sansa are still arguing about who's going to fucking rule the kingdoms. It's like, dude, you're going to rule the ash. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally agree with everything everybody's saying. It's a good point.
I think she's just been so obsessed, like you were saying, just so obsessed with it for so long that when you think about something that intently for that long and you are already willing to do anything it takes to make sure it happens. And she was like, if it weren't for Tyrion and those guys, she already would have burned down King's Landing most likely.
Right.
Because she's like, I got no problem. Like, this is mine. I'm going to take it. Because I've been planning this shit for, like, however many years she's been thinking about it and gathering armies and doing all this work. And then she's like, well, I just got to the end of my journey and you're going to tell me that, I should just not do it anymore. I've been thinking about this. This has been my ever-consuming thought every single day. Like, try that out in your personal life. Think about something every single day. And then after 8 years, just be like, nah, I'm fine. This doesn't work that way.
I'm good
with it. Your brain is a little rewired and screwy. You know,
I mean, they could be more like, all right, we know we got this to do first. But in the off chance, somehow, some act of God that we get out of this, we still got the Seven Kingdoms to fight for. You know what I mean? It's really not looking like that. It's like her and Sansa having that very sisterly moment, you know? And then, you know, like you said, Sansa had to fuck it up, you know? Yeah. And Danny fucked it up too. Like, Danny could have been like, look, we're going to talk about this if we live past tomorrow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Every day we live past tomorrow, we'll talk about it. But until this is done, you can run rule the North until this is done, and then we'll talk. You know, and then but they didn't. Yeah, you know, Danny had to be a fucking bitch about it.
Because it would have been interesting if she was like, you know what, the first time, like if she brought up the story, she's like, you know, the first time I fought the White Walkers, the experience was so jarring that a camaraderie was born. Like, that's where the love really blossomed between me and John.
Right.
Like, going through that sort of traumatic event, harrowing event, that sort of thing. When this is all said and done, if we make it through this, the things that we're going to have to see and do, we're going to be closer. We're going to be basically siblings at that point. We're going to be that close. And at that point, neither one of us is really going to care about who rules the North.
Right.
So.
And Sansa hasn't seen the Army of the Dead.
No, she hasn't.
She just seen a fucking dragon last episode for the first time.
Arya seems a little too excited to see the Army of the Dead, but Sansa doesn't seem to really give a hot shit.
Yeah, you know, we really didn't. We kind of glossed. I think we talked a lot about it before the people got in the chat, but we kind of started to show off with Arya and Gendry.
Yeah.
You know, that was unexpected.
Well, not, you know, I actually kind of expected that.
Did you?
I didn't expect it
that episode.
Cause, well,
I thought they were going to flirt back and forth for a few more episodes. And
no, because the flirting really started to ramp up in that episode where, you know, she's throwing daggers at the board and all that stuff. And then I was like, you know, she keeps giving him the doomy eyes. And Arya's super, she's a dom, basically. Like, she's in charge. And Gendry is very not. He's very passive, like, yeah, no, you do whatever you want to me.
Right.
And so I feel like she was like, you know what, I kind of want to just see what this is all about. So it's the last night on Earth, probably. So, yeah, I just want to see what it is. She was very nonchalant about it.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. Yeah, I mean, yeah, she was like, look, I'm not one of those other three chicks. You're taking, or I'm not the Red Queen or the Red Witch. You take your own pants off, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. And he's just like, oh, fuck it. Yeah, don't give a shit. I'm getting laid. I don't care. Yeah. But so let's talk about the weapon real quick. Because you and I both had some ideas on what the weapon was going to be. Now, she was twirling it like a spear.
Yeah,
but in that diagram, it looks like something ejects from it.
Well, I'm wondering if, so maybe something ejects, or if the way it was drawn is just meant to be that it comes apart.
Like Maul's double lightsaber?
Well, that is a double-ended spear that she has. Like, you could see the dragon glass on both sides, but Maul's doesn't come apart and turn into two sabers. I'm saying, so that middle black section, I feel like it unscrews and then she can fight with, and then it turns in almost like, not swords, but mini spears that she can attack more frequently.
I didn't realize it had a spear on both ends.
Yep, it did. When she was twirling around, you could see it has a double-ended
spear. Well, I mean, in the diagram.
It doesn't show it in the diagrams. Well, it's really tough. I looked up like a screenshot of the diagram. It's very hard to see what the hell.
But it obviously comes apart.
It does come apart. I don't know if it's going to shoot, just because I don't know if they have, like, the tech for projectiles, necessarily.
Right.
And even if they did, it'd probably be pretty shitty. Like, it's just going to shoot, like, a pen cap. Just shoot, like, 5 feet and be done with it.
Yeah.
I think it comes apart, and then she can attack that way. Okay. I was reading an interview with the guy who does all the blacksmithy shit for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the thing he's most proud of is Arya. Well, he didn't say explicitly Arya's weapon, but he did mention there's a weapon you've never seen before on the show, which we've never seen that before, and the engineering is going to wow everybody.
Well, you see, that makes me feel like that it's way more than it just comes apart, because that's kind of gay.
If you pair it with Arya's ridiculous fighting skill, though, might look pretty sweet.
Yeah.
If she starts whirly-burning around just murdering.
I think it does more than that.
It might.
I'm going out on a limb and saying it is going to be a weapon that we've never seen on Game of Thrones before.
Sure.
And it, you know, yeah, it comes apart, but I think it's going to like she's going to be fighting someone and they're going to have her like at a stalemate and then she's going to fucking shoot that fucking dragon glass through somebody's face. Now, maybe. I don't know how, you know. You know, maybe they'll explain. I mean, they're going to have to explain somehow how they did it. But we've got obviously some time to where they can do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, Gendry, man, that motherfucker's – he's impressive. Because she even calls him a Smith's apprentice. Like, she won't even call him a Smith.
Yeah.
Because she's like – when he's trying to explain to her the dead, you know, he's like, they're bad. They're really bad. She's like, come on. Even a Smith's apprentice can do better than that. You know, I'm like, damn. Yeah. You know, this motherfucker's making dragon glass weapons and shit, and he's just an apprentice?
Well, I feel like he still sees Arya, like, I mean, aside from, you know, knocking boots, but he still kind of sees her from the first time they met, where she was like this, not innocent, but, you know, the gender stereotype in that particular world is a certain way. So he's just like, you know, I don't want to trouble you with the whole what the dead are like sort of thing. Because you're a girl, you're probably not going to be fighting the front lines. And then she's just throwing daggers. He's like, okay. They're death. They're really bad. Like, they're really, really bad.
Oh, it was great when she was like, you'll get my weapon. He's like, I'm on it. Like,
yeah, I'll get right, to it when I get to
point.
It.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's it. Okay. And, oh, man, there was something else that I wanted to talk about. Fuck. Now I can't fucking remember what it was. Shit. All right. Fuck it. Whatever.
Well, what was funny, like, one of my favorite scenes was when Arya and the Hound, like, met up on the top, but they didn't really say anything. And then, is it Barrister or whatever his name is, or Barrist, the guy who lights on fire.
Beric, Dondarrion.
Yeah, Beric Dondarrion. Yeah, when he showed up, and then the Hound was like, "It's going to be really weird that your, you know, God brought you back all these times for me to just throw you over this fucking wall."
Love the Hound.
Yeah, there were so many scenes where, like, it's just dialogue, and I'm like,
"It's just dialogue."
I just love this character so fucking much.
I love it.
Because it's my chances are
about Thrones. Yeah, it has great action. Yeah, there's fucking dragons. Yes, there's hot chicks. I mean, there's everything that you fucking love. There's sex and nudity and everything else. But it's that makes this show, like, people care about these characters. Yeah. And like my wife, like, she gets very, like, overwhelmed because there's so, like, especially reading the books. There's so many fucking names and people that are part of houses and, you know, I mean, you know, R.R. Martin, he's wordy, and, you know, it really goes into, like, all these people from different houses. So you get very confused. You may not know their you couldn't remember Beric's name, but you knew who the fuck he was. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I like Beric. I think he's badass. And when they do the, he's actually going to be a big part of the new spinoff that they're doing. And if you remember, I don't remember what, because, like I said, I've went back and rewatched all the episodes. I can't remember what episode it was, but Sir Mormon is talking about Beric when he stormed the gates in some battle and he was waving that fucking flaming sword around. And I'm like, holy shit, man. Like, that's going to be really cool to see him younger in a badass. You know what I mean? And apparently he had the flaming sword back then during the battle for the Trident, which was when, the Fat King killed Rhaegar.
Robert Baratheon.
Thank you. Yeah, Robert Baratheon. So, you know, they're going to get to all that, the Battle of the Trident and all that, and the spinoff. So it's going to be really cool to see him. But there's just, like, so many small characters like that that you just fucking love, man. And it goes to show you that there are no small parts, only small actors. Because, like, I mean, they have all did a great job. The writing has been fantastic on the show, obviously. So what I want to end the show with is predictions for next episode. And what I want to do is really, really, really quick. Okay. I want to go through, like, just a list of characters. Sure. And we're going to give a yay or a nay on whether they make it out of this next episode. Or we won't even say next episode. We'll say the battle of the Night King.
I'm fine with either one.
Okay.
Right. Even if it's just because I think the Battle of the Night King is going to take two episodes.
Okay, so we can't say just next episode. We'll say the next two episodes.
So 3 and 4, I think, are going to be the battle with the Night King, and then 5 and 6 are going to be dealing with the.
I think it's fair. Okay, yeah. Jaime. Yeah or nay? He makes it.
Oh, boy.
Quickly, goddammit!
I think yay, because he's going to murder Cersei.
I mean, yay. That chat, you chime in too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next two episodes are over an hour and a half. So,
oh shit!
Yeah, so we got 3 hours in the next two episodes.
Okay.
So we got Jaime, Tyrion.
Yay.
Yeah, yay. Arya.
Yay. Okay. You think she's gonna die?
I'm just saying we're getting a lot of yays already. John.
Well,
John.
Yay.
Danny.
Yay. You're just picking all the biggest ones. You got to pick the side characters.
This is my game, goddammit. Play it the way I fucking want. Samwell Tarly.
Nay.
You wanted to say yay. I'm saying yay.
I did want to say yay, but I'm like, now you've made me self-conscious of how many yays I'm saying.
Sansa.
Yay.
Nobody's dying in this fight.
No, pick other fucking characters.
Shut up. I'm getting there. Who am I forgetting? The Hound.
Yay. Gotta have the Clegane Bowl.
Gotta have the Clegane Bowl.
They've already confirmed that's gonna happen, so you know he's not gonna die.
Hey, man. It could be a red herring. Marvel does it all the time.
It could, but that would be really disappointing.
Ghost.
Nay.
Really?
They gotta reduce that budget.
They show him in the back. 2 seconds on the wall. And I'm like, come on, man.
Yep, show him for 2 seconds so that you don't forget that he's there, and then he'll be
Davos.
Dead.
Davos.
Nay. I know. Well, I'll be real. I'm gonna be super sad when he dies, but I kind of feel like he's gonna die in this battle.
Beric.
Dead. Nay.
Derek,
no way. No way.
A fucking definite death.
There's no way he's making
this it. This is
up.
The reason he's been brought back so many times. I don't know what it is, but he's going to do what he was supposed to do, and then that'd be it.
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting a bunch of people.
There's Brienne. There's Podrick. There's.
Okay, Podrick.
Theon. There's Bran.
Okay, Theon.
Nay, he's fucked.
Fucking him so and Beric are so dead.
So fucked. If you told me to rank who's most fucked, I would put Beric and then Theon number two in most fucked.
Yeah, they're right there together for me. They're both so fucked. Brienne.
Yep. Yay.
Who the
Podrick is in? Podrick is in. Podrick's a nay. I think he's gonna die saving Brienne.
Yeah. Seriously?
I think he's going to die saving Brienne.
Tony says Brienne's a goner.
Really? Okay, maybe.
That could be. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some unexpected deaths. Like,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of these people need to have their end in King's Landing going for the Iron Throne.
Sure.
But
sure.
The reality is some of them just ain't going to fucking make it.
Yeah. All
right, who else we got? Yeah.
Tormund.
Oh, fucking Tormund.
Tormund wants to make it
to King's Landing. You got to have a wildling.
You know what?
He's the only wildling we really know.
I want Tormund to be the king of the Seven Kingdoms.
I do too.
You know what?
Fucking giant's milk for everybody.
Yeah. No more wine. Giant's milk.
No more wine.
Give me the big old giant.
Red piss you men drink. Bran. We forgot Bran.
I'm gonna go yay nay.
What the fuck?
Meaning his body will die, but he's not gonna be all the way dead. Something's gonna happen, I think. That's my prediction. He's going someplace so he can get out of that cripple body.
The only reason I say he doesn't is because there has to be a three-eyed raven.
Well, you know, the world needs Timmy, I suppose.
Timmy.
South Park? Little wheelchair kid, Timmy.
Timmy?
Yay, nay. What the fuck is that? All right. Is that everything? I feel like we're forgetting somebody big.
Man, we might be. I can't. Chad, are we forgetting anybody?
Bran is already dead, LOL. Good point.
How about the Night King?
Dead.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Next episode or 2 episodes?
Oh, if it goes 2 episodes, it's definitely the second.
Okay.
Because, I mean, because like John said, once you kill him, he loses the control. You kill any of the lieutenants, I guess it's kind of like vampires, right? Like if you turn someone... Yeah. Then, because like when in the Battle of Hardhome, when John killed that lieutenant, all those other zombies fell. I guess he had rose those and, you know. But this is my thing. So, does the Night King get stronger if his lieutenants die? Or
I don't think so.
As he always is.
I think he's just, he's always the same strength level.
Yeah, I think
that, right. That doesn't really change anything, I don't think. Trying to think if there's dragons.
Viserion. Viserion's definitely dead.
He's super dead, yeah. But Drogon.
That's Danny's dragon.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling.
God damn it. That's tough. Because if Danny makes it, then Drogon's going to make it.
Well, Bill. So I have this feeling that when Danny has to go and take King's Landing, she will have no dragons to use and will have to use other means to try and deal with things. Because the dragons are sort of like a game changer. Yeah. So if she doesn't have the dragons.
But they've got those big ass fucking catapult things. I mean, Bronn's almost already brought one down. Oh, I forgot Bronn's coming to King's Landing.
Well, they didn't say he was coming.
Yeah, he's coming.
Is he?
He's coming. Yes.
Like because remember we talked about this last time where.
No, but I read something. Sure,
oh, you read something?
I read something about what the writers were doing because they want Bronn and Winterfell for the showdown.
Okay.
Which dragon will Bran take? You're the guy that says he wars into a dragon, so
I think
you just contradict yourself, Dennis.
Yeah, he turns into. You're right. I guess it did. Yeah.
You can't have it both ways, goddamn.
Well, unless he wargs into the zombie dragon, in which case, boom.
He's dead though. Well, you already said he didn't get out of it.
Undead, dead, it's a relative term.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you, Dennis, says Tony. We did forget, what is it? It's not Littlefinger, the worm thing. The guy with no dick who likes... Varys. Not even him. The warrior. The one who's all up on...
Oh, Grey Worm.
Missandei. Yeah,
Missandei Grey Worm. And Grey Worm.
Yeah.
Dead.
Super dead. Yeah, he's super dead.
That would be dead.
That would be, well, maybe not Missandei, but Grey Worm, yeah, he's dead. Number three on my list of definitely dead.
They're both dead. They're going to fucking die in each other's arms because they were already talking about fucking, when this is over, getting out and hitting the beach.
Yep, that means you're dead. Yep, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
That's why I don't think Missandei dies, because I think she's going to pull a Shawshank Redemption where, you know, old Red... When he gets out, he's supposed to go to the beach or something like that.
Yeah.
Live on for Andy Dufresne. I think Missandei's going to do something similar.
Okay. So, Missandei, yes.
Lives, yeah.
For you, I say dead.
Okay.
Grey Worm dead for both of them.
Super dead. Yeah, super dead. And I think that's everybody that's there anyways. You know what?
Mormon. Jorah.
Oh, dead. Super dead. Nay. He's number four on the list of definitely dead. Yeah. Number four of dead. He's going to die with blue balls. Yeah. That's a shame. It's a shame to go that way, but.
Fuck.
Hey, I got one for you. You're not going to like it, though. Lyanna Mormont. Yay or nay?
Oh, fuck. She's a fucking child. She's got to die, right? There's no way.
Dead don't care.
Right. That's what I'm saying. No, she's, I mean, what the fuck can she do? God
damn. You know what? This is what's going to happen.
If Jamie can make it out with one hand, one offhand.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, what if?
Hold on. Wouldn't it be super, super cool if. Debo said she gone.
She gone.
Wouldn't it be super cool though if it's like a Yoda moment, like in the prequels when he fights Dooku and Lyanna Mormont fucking like it looks like she's surrounded by zombies and she fucking pulls out her fucking broadsword and just fucking people up, bat flipping and shit.
It'd be awesome. I was just thinking it would be really funny if so she dies and the Night King raises everybody up and she just turns around and goes, "Fuck you." I'm right. The king of the north.
I think God damn it. Are you saying no? Are you
I think she's going to die.
Okay.
Because she's going out on the front line, so she's going to die. She's going to die.
Okay. All right.
I say Gendry. We forgot Gendry.
She lives. Because... if Sir Jorah dies, okay, and she dies, the fucking house is basically gone.
Well, so is Umber. I mean, lots of houses are gone.
Yeah, fuck Umber. They were fucking stupid anyway. Cars,
I know.
They're all fucking stupid. Yeah. That's where I'm fucking going with. I say she lives. Okay. I'm pulling for her.
How about Gendry?
Oh, fuck. We forgot Gendry. fucking Gendry. I'm going to say they fuck again, so I'm going to say, yeah, he's a yay.
Nope, he got ladies.
Class weapons. You can't kill him.
He got ladies dead.
That's how it works. That's a fucking great point. I'm changing my answer. Yeah, he's dead.
He got ladies dead. That's it.
Yep.
If he would have stayed a virgin, the writers would have been like, you know what?
Yep.
It's not your time yet, buddy. It's not your time. Oh, you got some of that sweet, sweet Arya? Nope, you're done.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
You got some of the nice boobs, the nice 18-year-old boobs. Yep.
It's like a horror movie. You have sex, you're done.
You're done. Exactly. That's done. When you said that, I went, oh, fuck, he is dead. Shit.
He's super dead.
Fuck me. All right. What I'm going to do, guys, if I can do it, I don't know if I can fucking do this or not. I'll try. I know you can put polls up. I'm going to put a poll up on Blazing Defender Report on the Facebook page. I'm going to put a poll up. I guess I could put as many people as I want on it. I don't fucking know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll push Facebook polls to the limit. And it will be a live or die kind of thing. Maybe I'll just say, who do you think is going to die? And then there will be a list of characters, everybody we've named. And then after the two episodes, okay, after the 3 hours, on the next show, which I guess it'll be 5, we'll come back and we'll look at the poll and we'll look how me and Dennis did to see if we know what the fuck we're talking about or not, which it's obvious we do not. But we do have fun with it anyway. Exactly, guys, it's 1:21. We're gonna sign this off. I want to fucking thank everybody that's in the chat. Me and Dennis were a little worried because when we started, there wasn't a whole lot of people in the chat, but it really filled up, and I appreciate that. And I love when the chat talks to each other and they answer each other's questions and they give us shit that we can talk about. So it's very, very cool. Thank you guys so much. I'm the Blazing Defender. I do a show on Twitch as well. It's a comic book related show. Endgame this fucking Thursday, man. Like the movie we all waited for. What's that?
Are you doing 6 o'clock? Are you doing a 6 o'clock viewing?
I believe I'm 4 o'clock on Thursday.
They have a 4 o'clock viewing.
Yes.
Wow. Earliest is 6 here.
Yeah, we had a 4 o'clock and a 7 and a 10. I think. Now that's just what I could get tickets for.
Yeah. The one theater we have in town, we had a 6, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10, an 11, and a 12 o'clock showing. Like
on Thursday?
Every hour. Because what they do is they have 3 theaters running, like 3 screens running.
Now I will say that there were other showings that was available to me, but they were not reserved seating. And I'm not getting into the theater fucking 3 hours early for this. So
that's
I needed reserved seating, and those were the top slots available to me.
We don't have theaters around here that have a reserved seating, as far as I know.
Thank you, Debo, for putting that in the chat. For you guys that want to participate in the poll, there's the link in the chat. That's very, very cool. Now, it's not up yet. I haven't done it yet. I will get it done either tonight or in the morning. So be checking back for the Blazing Defender Report on Facebook. But I also do, like I said, I do a comic book show. We're going to be reviewing the movie. Me and Big Sam were talking about doing a preview show on Wednesday. So I'll be checking the Facebook page for that, the Instagram, the Twitter, Blazing Defender Report. You put in a Google search, it'll come up. So, and if you guys haven't followed on Twitch, please do that. Check that notification. That way, every time I go live, you will get a notification. It's very, very cool. Really digging Twitch. But Dennis, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Well, so I am on the comedy podcast Botched, a D&D podcast, and you can find us on pretty much every podcatcher that exists. Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes.
Blog Talk.
Blog to, well, I don't know if we're on Blog Talk, but yeah, on all, I don't know. I'm pretty sure we're everywhere. And check that out. We just started our 4th season, so that's been a lot of fun.
Awesome.
You can also support our show over at patreon.com/botchedpodcast, which has shit from $1 all the way to $50. And the cool thing is, if you donate at $50, you get everything all the way down to $1. Bangbros.com, Tony. You got it. I'm famous for the Big Sausage Pizza videos. That's actually Naughty America, but whatever. Who cares?
You notice Dennis has bangs.
Well, they're getting cut as soon as we're done with this show, right? So it was kind of ironic. But and then also on Saturday nights, I do a Twitch stream. We've been playing these weird-ass dating simulators. So that's twitch.tv/watchedpodcast. So head on over there. Before you guys leave the chat, if you haven't already done so already, hit the follow button up here because Travis is 7 followers away from hitting his affiliate level. We just got to get him the number of shows he needs, but we'll get there. Don't worry about that.
Oh, thank you, Debo, for putting the botched link up there on Stitcher as well. That's very, very cool. Debo, the best hype man anybody could ever have.
It's true.
And he's taking a break this week, but he decided to jump in the chat and help us out. So really appreciate that, man. I know you're on spring break.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, so guys, thank you again. Dennis and I will be back next week with the episode 3 discussion. Hope you guys can tune in. If you think you know someone that would like this, shoot them that link over. And like I said, I do other shows on this channel, but the Game of Thrones show, I'll be promoting it on all the social media outlets, so you'll know when it's coming. Try to get you a little more advanced notice than I did for this show. but me and Dennis will work it out when we're going to have the episode 3 discussion. But with that, guys, thank you again so much for joining. It was a ton of fun. I really love doing this show, man. Don't you, Dennis?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Oh, I love it.
I mean, we love Game of Thrones, and we love just talking about it, and to have other people come in here with us is really, really cool.
Shooting the shit and fucking throwing around weird, crazy fan theories and just saying.
I know, it's fucking awesome, right?
Bang Bros and whatnot. It's a good time.
But guys, for that, for Dennis from Botch, for me, Blazy D, I'm out of here. You guys have a great, great rest of your week. And I always try to sign up the show with something a little positive. So the world's crazy. People are fucking selfish and shitty. So if you can just do something nice for someone without them asking, it'd be really cool. And just treat people like you would want to be treated, man. The world would just be a better place. For Dennis and me, Blazing D, we're out of here, guys. Peace.
Alarmo Galesse.